Sick.
Okay, it's recording. So this is going to be podcast number 001. I don't know why I chose 001, because we hope to get up to 100 or more. This is the first podcast at Green Tambourine Shop here in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And as I had said in the last one, we've met so many interesting people come through our front door. And I happen to have just one of those interesting people right in front of me. Thankfully, he came in just at the right time. So, what's your name, sir?
What's up, man? My name's Jason. I'm from here in E-Town, Elizabethtown, PA. I'm just a random dude.
Just a random dude. That's hilarious. So, as for the folks that can't see Jason, he's right in front of me. I can see him. He's a very interesting individual. He is he's a big dude. He has tattoos all over his face. He has big gauged ears. He has tattoos all over his head. He has tattoos all over his body. And why I mention this is because you don't ever judge a book by its cover, because when this man opens his mouth, you can just, he's a very interesting individual. And I think we talked about in the past, there's a lot of folks that dismiss people like this immediately, which is horrible. Because if you give this man a minute to speak, it's really an enjoyable conversation, and that's what we've been doing these past couple weeks that he's been coming in. It's really hard to even know where to begin with you. I mean,
right, dude?
You're so much to you, so many avenues.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just one of those things. I've always just kind of, from the gate, like, I started tattooing when I was 14, and like the main misconception most people have is like, oh, nobody wants to get tattooed by a guy who doesn't have any tattoos.
At such a young age,
I was like, oh, I'm just going to be a tattoo artist the rest of my life. I don't care.
Yeah.
So I went balls out. Like, my first, like, real tattoo was on the back of my hand. You know, it said family, real big. And, like, I regretted that from, like, day two.
Really?
I was still in high school, and I got my hand tattooed. And so, like, right out of the gate, even in high school, like, the teachers that are supposed to be, like, your last influence before you go out into like the real world, we're just kind of like, what are you doing, bro? Like, what are you're gonna kill yourself?
Well,
like,
I gotta say when we were in school, you know, people were getting tattoos, but the whole thing that everybody was going around was, don't get one past your wrist so you can, right, at least pull your sleeve down. Yeah. And you can act normal, quote, yeah, normal within
arrow
society
quotes.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, obviously, what about the face? Like, that's intriguing to me. Like, what was your first face tattoo?
Oh, man, my first face tattoo, I don't even have anymore, because that was, like, a whole different part of my life. I was actually, like, super devout, like, by the Bible, like, no swearing, like, just follow the word of God. And, like, I was trying to disciple to people all the time. And I was like, I'm not like all these other people you see standing on the corner with a Bible, yeah, preaching about the rapture or whatever, you know, yeah, like that's, I never really did that.
Yeah.
I was always out to like help people and try to save people and like,
well, that's cool.
Be cool about it. So the first thing I actually got tattooed on my face was an upside down cross.
Oh.
And like the story behind that is, if you follow Catholicism at all, Peter was crucified upside down,
hmm,
because he felt he was unworthy to be crucified the same way Christ,
wow,
was.
That's very interesting.
So I got it tattooed on my face as like a constant reminder of, hey man, when you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you do your hair, what are you staring at? You're staring at yourself. And it was a constant reflection on myself to be like, remember, hey man, you're not perfect, but you're taking the steps to get there.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a, that's kind of why I have like most of my face tattoos actually, because I also have a PMA on my cheek here, which stands for positive mental attitude. Because,
huh,
I mean, you can't go through your life worrying about what could happen. Or, oh man, you know, I lost my job this week. Like, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, it'll get you real quick if you let yourself fall into that. That's for sure. It'll fuck you all up. It ain't good.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Like
negative thinking and depression, it just puts you out. I mean, you could just lay in bed for days and just be away from the world, and what does that get you? Nothing, just deeper and deeper.
It's funny, we were talking about that yesterday, like when I saw you, like 2 weeks ago, I was in such a bad spot,
yeah,
you know, like possibility of going to jail on some completely unrelated crap that's like personal, and like just reflecting on myself, like, damn, how did I let it get to this point?
Yeah.
Like, just not caring about anything. Like, I was just too focused on all the bad shit that was happening to me to do anything about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that becomes all our focus, yeah.
And, like, my Facebook posts are completely contradictory to the way I am because, like, I have a lot of friends that, like, have told me in the past, like, yo, man, you're, like, the positive light in my life. Like, don't ever change. Like, your statuses are so uplifting and, like, they knew half the shit that I was going through. So, like, for me to still be posting that kind of stuff online,
yeah,
but not really attributing it to my own life was, like, I felt like such a hypocrite. I was like, damn, yo, these people actually look up to me. Like, they care about me. Like, I can't be, you know, a waste of space, pretty
yeah,
much,
yeah,
is how I felt like I was. So, like, you know, I put my nose to the grindstone and applied for, like, I think like 35 jobs in a day. And that was on a Sunday. And then that Monday I got like 6 phone calls, you know, the whole week was just nothing. The week after that was nothing but interviews.
Yeah.
You know, so I had like my pick of jobs and half of them were like through temp agencies. So it was kind of like, well, no, I need something that's going to be reliable. And then I found like this job with Narrow Mountain in Mount Joy. They're like a product plate, like assembly. Like, we do road cases, gun cases.
It's just
like,
amazing.
Tons of stuff,
that's
man.
Just so cool. That just kind of fits you.
Right? Yeah. And there's so many steps involved. And the product goes through so many people. It's like you're getting a solid product because there's so many eyes watching it and making it the best that it can be. And I'm like, finally a part of a team that matters.
See, that's what, you know, I think that's one thing we touched on is job fulfillment. I mean, obviously you can go fucking work anywhere and just feel like a piece of shit, I don't want to be here, but you actually found something you dig.
Yeah, which is really surprising because, like, I was just looking for a job that was going to pay my bills.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, like, I was at the point where I'll scrub toilets for a living.
Right,
like, I don't care. You know, I need to, like, get some money so I can get my life together, like... I'm almost 30 years old, man. I shouldn't be having to fucking do this. But, you know, made life choices that weren't the best, and now I'm paying for it. But
you wouldn't be who you are without
exactly,
all of those, you know?
Yeah. Exactly,
man.
You're
a special guy you are because of it.
I got stories for days, man.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, getting back to the tattoos and stuff, that's been, like, almost a 13 or 14 year journey.
See, and this is cool. I want to ask you this. Because I do dig tattoos. I don't have one. And I'm looking for something. It'll probably be something that has to do with like my kid's zodiac.
Right.
But yeah. I'm curious as to this path you've chosen. Has it held you back in any avenue in life? Especially your face? I'm just curious.
I mean, my whole...
Do you feel like you've ever been looked at differently or judged?
Oh, I've absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
There's situations all the time where I run into people and you can... I try not to pay attention to, like, if I'm out in public in a crowded place, I try not to pay attention to people because I know I'm going to find somebody staring and they're going to either have, like, a look of disgust on their face or they're just, like, a puzzled look, like, why the hell would he do that?
Yeah.
Same with my ears. My ears are 1.5 inches. I have 1.5 inches hole in my ears. So that alone is, like, just, like, holy shit, the guy looks like Dumbo. Like, what the hell?
Then that's another thing, because I see this often. A lot of people have gauged ears. Why? What is a gauged ear? What is the purpose? What is the point?
Oh, man.
I don't even know.
There's so many things, but, like, when I was a kid, I'm, like, a huge, like, knowledge seeker.
Yeah.
So, like, I was scrolling through a National Geographic book. And I found one of the Maori people from Africa.
Okay.
And they have their stretched ears. And, like, I was like, oh, why do they do that? Like, that's cool. Like, that's different. And then, you know, the more and more research I did, I found out, like, the bigger and extravagant the hole and, like, the jewelry, the higher up they are in the social status.
Huh.
So it's kind of like an honor or, like, a respect thing
for
them. So I was, like, taking that and adapting it over here. Around the same time a lot of other people were, too. Like, I started stretching my ears back when there was, like, maybe 3 or 4 companies that made jewelry that big. And then you started seeing the littler sizes in, like, Hot Topic and Spencer's, who never really carried anything over 1 inch because that was acceptable back then.
Hmm.
I saw that, and I was like, that's not good enough. I was like, I need to go bigger. So I told myself when I started gauging my ears, I'm going to 2 inches. And after that, I'll see where I'm at, and if I want to go bigger, then I'll go bigger. Well, on my journey to 2 inches, it was a grueling process. Like, it wasn't like, people think like you just go to like a tattoo shop and get your holes punched.
Yeah.
Like, you can do that, but then you got to get your ear stitched, then you got to take extra time to clean it. And we know that we can do all this now because it's been around so long, and we've had the trial and error. You know, I was in that early stage of like when it first started kind of getting popular in like the early 2000s to mid 2000s. And then like somewhere around like 2010, 2012, like in there is when it really started going off. Like, now you see people with decent size, like even just like little ones, like a 2 or 4 gauge, like it's almost like a standard now, like when you get your ears pierced, at least in my industry. Like, everyone I've seen to run into from, like, the tattoo industry or the body modification world or, you know, just in general, any kind of artsy, hipster, millennial thing, it's almost like a standard because it's different, but it's not different. So now you're going from being singled out to having a huge group of people. So how do you stand out in that huge group of people? Well, you got to do the next big thing. You got to take it more. So now people are pushing their bodies to like these crazy limits where they're like getting implants in under their skin.
I've seen this shit. And then
you can get like the microdermal implants that just have like a little foot on it and it's under a couple layers of skin.
Yeah, that shit is wild, man.
You know, I've never done anything of that, but I'm actually in the process here of, you can't really see it obviously, but my left hand is blacked out up to about halfway up my forearm, and I'm actually blacking out from my elbow down to my hand. And then I was originally planning on doing scarification over that so it'll heal as like a negative space.
Wow.
It's kind of like a reverse tattoo, just with a lot of extra steps.
Wow, damn.
But now I'm kind of at the point where I'm like 30 and I hate getting tattooed. So I'm thinking like a scalpel digging out my skin is probably going to suck a lot more.
So, you know, the obvious question, which everybody knows, tattooing hurts.
Yeah.
Of course it does. They're dragging a fucking needle across your skin.
I mean, I think the worst tattoo I got was mostly my own fault. It was my throat.
Oh god. Yeah,
I was at work in a retail store. I don't want to drop names just because of legality issues. But I was working this retail store, you know, I started out as a like backup of the backup of the backup for manager.
Yeah.
You know, part-time, like I had a key, quote unquote, but like I never had to use it. But within 2 weeks of me being there, the assistant manager that we had quit. So, you know, naturally just move up the ladder. Like, whoever was under the assistant took their spot, and then I would take their spot. So now I actually became, like, a person that mattered. And it was like, oh, shit, what do I do? Like, I have these face tattoos, and people are gonna, you know, they're gonna want to speak to a manager. And then when they have to speak to me, if I'm the only manager on duty, they're not gonna gonna be like, wait, you're the manager?
Yeah.
And then it's gonna run into a whole slew of things. But like you said at the beginning of the podcast, you know, once I actually have a chance to be like, oh yeah, what can I help you with?
Yeah, that's you know, the thing about you.
It's
man.
Like, what do you need? Oh, you want to return that? Well, what's wrong with it?
It's a perfect example of not judging a book by its cover.
You know, and then half the time they come up and they're all pissed off because they think that's how they have to be to get what they want. Yeah. And it's like, hold on, man. Like, what's really the issue here? Did you just not want it anymore? Because if you don't want it anymore, that's whatever. As long as you have your receipt, I can't stop you from returning it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you to get the hell out of my store because you're causing a scene. I'm going to be like, hey, bro, can you keep it down? I have kids in my store.
That's
you know,
cool.
Like,
that's cool. Yeah.
I'll help you. Just work with me here. Don't come at me like you're gonna try to Hulk out on me, because I'll reach over the counter and bash your skull. Like, that's what most people think about me.
Yeah.
And granted, some days, you know, I have a bad day. I'll want to reach over the counter and bash your skull in. But you know, who doesn't want to do that? But I just found like working in like a service industry or a retail setting, like people really do think that that's what they want. Like it's me, 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 me.
So is the customer always right?
Hell no.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, man. Like,
now, there's a fucking limit. There's a point where it's like, okay, I've worked with you this far. We're just fucking done.
I can't really say that the customer's always wrong, because being a tattoo artist and having clients come to me.
Of course.
It is, you are right. It's what you want.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But don't be a dick about it.
Yeah, there's always a way to handle every situation. Not being a dick.
I'm recalling a certain instance with a gentleman that I never tattooed him, but few of my friends have tattooed him, and he's, man, he's something else. He's super entitled, you know, just, that's just how he is. He's just, he always thinks that his way is the right way. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that, because that's who he is, and I love him. Like, he's a great friend. Like, he was always there for me, you know. Him and I never had any bad beef, and when we did, we talked it out, and it's like, bro, can we squash this? Like, come on. Yeah. We don't really need to be butting heads right now because of on something you're on or something I'm on, you know, whether it's an ego trip or whatever. But you're going to an artist. Like, I have someone come to me with artwork that they want done, but they tell me, hey, this is just an example of what I want. Mm. I don't want this exact thing, obviously, because, you know, it's already it already exists.
Yeah, right, gotcha.
And I want to be an individual, and I want it to be my own. So I'll modify it, you know, I'll do whatever I want to incorporate their ideas for the best look of the tattoo over time. You know, I want a piece that's going to stand the test of time. I'm going to put in that work to make sure those lines are solid, to make sure that coloring and the shading is solid.
Yeah.
You knowing that as the client coming to me, you know it's not going to be cheap. Well, it should be to this individual, because Joe Schmo down the road can do that exact piece for half the price. Then by all means, brother, take it to Joe Schmo.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll see if it lasts the test of time. You know, I know my ability. I know what I'm good at. I know what, you know...
And of course, there's a big difference to putting a thing on somebody and just tracing it and following the lines, or actually creating something. Yeah. That's what's unreal, the uniqueness of it all. Because you're not going to get another one just like
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And I mean, I've had people already come to me, you know, they'll go on Pinterest and see the thing that I always use for an example is just because it's super cliche, is like the infinity sign with like a word in the center and then some feathers coming off that go into birds. Or like little feather tattoos that they want super detailed. And it's like, you're thinking about now and how cool it's going to look now. I'm thinking, what's that going to look like in 2 years, 5 years, 20 years? You know, I want something that's going to look good on you now and when you're 35 or 40.
Yeah.
You know, this, as an example, tattooing like an 18-year-old. They're 18, you know, their parents told them, you know, you can get tattoos when you turn 18, but you gotta pay for it.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things, because that's what my mom always told me, and then for my 16th birthday, my mom paid for my first tattoo.
That's cool.
So it's like, because she realized, she was like, you know what, he really doesn't need himself to pay for tattoos when that's how he makes his money. So, and I can't really, he doesn't really want anything for his birthday, so this is like the only thing I want, so I'm just gonna do it.
Yeah.
This one time.
Yeah.
And then, anytime she gave me money after that, I was going to get little, like, tattoos just to kind of be a jerk about it.
Well, I gotta say, man, you ever get back into tattooing, I'll wait for you, bro. You give me my first
dude,
tattoo.
Dude, I'm back in it. I was actually drawing some things up this morning. I drew, like, this cool little, it's a little bottle, like a glass bottle, and it's got, teeth around the neck of the bottle, like a gum line and some teeth.
Damn.
And then the cork is actually a tooth.
Good lord.
And then there's like some liquid floating in the bottle. It's just something like, I don't know where I pull half this crap from. You know, I'm just like, look, I watch like Oddities and like that weird TV show where it's like all like the skeletons in the jars and like octopi and like formaldehyde and all kinds of cool stuff like that. So I was always like, man, I want to tattoo that stuff. But, like, I don't know anybody that's really into that kind of stuff anymore.
Hey, man, can I get a skeleton in a jar?
Hell yeah, bro. give me a couple days. I'll draw that up for you. How big you want it?
That's crazy.
Oh, you only want it, like, the size of your pinky? I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting, tattoos. I don't know. I just never... My wife, she got a tattoo, and it was, like, from that one tattoo, now she wants more tattoos, and... You know, the only thing that I see right now, man, is my kids. You know, kids are absolutely forever.
Yeah, man, I have my daughter's name actually tattooed here on my left hand, right outside the black spot. It's cool. Layla May. Now, that's actually her handwriting.
Now, do you suggest, you know, I see a lot of, you know, I know a lot of folks that are having their basement party, tattoo parties and shit like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I've seen some horror stories of that and people's arms and shit.
See,
like,
the biggest thing I can tell anybody that's wanting to get, like, tattooed or, like, is thinking about getting tattooed but just doesn't know what they want, I would educate yourself.
Yeah.
First, find what you are going to want on you for the rest of your life, because You know, there's lasers treatment and stuff, but that shit's a hell of a lot more painful than getting tattooed.
Jesus.
And about twice as expensive. Most places go for like $150 to $200 an hour.
God.
So if you're going to get like this little tattoo removed and they zap it for 5 minutes, you're paying for that hour of that 5 minutes when that's all you're getting done. So unless you have like a decent sized piece that can get blasted in an hour, it's kind of not worth it.
Hmm.
So it's like a 20-minute decision that you made about a tattoo is spending the rest of your life.
Right.
Or you're going to be hurting even more because you're realizing how much you're going to pay for the damn thing to get it taken off of you. So I have tattoos on me. You know, I'm covered in tattoos. And, you know, the cool thing is, like, I don't think I have a single one that doesn't have, like, a cool little story behind it.
That's what I would think
so,
when it comes to a tattoo.
I mean, like, I think, what's the newest one that I got? Oh, I have a alien. Like, you're just typical, like, you know, 70s alien head,
yeah,
with the big eyes and the big-ass bulbous head.
Yeah.
Was actually done by my girlfriend. She actually tattooed it on me, because that's, like, our thing. Like, aliens, for some reason, is just kind of, like, our cute little thing. Like,
aliens are your own girlfriend's cute little
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, like, in my phone it says the wife, and then it's got the little alien emoji.
That's great. Some people like puppies and kittens. You guys, fucking aliens.
I don't know, man.
That's awesome.
I've always kind of been, like, searching, because I've always kind of hoped in the back of my mind that there's something else.
Obviously,
out there.
You can't be certain, but you can only speculate. I mean, it's a very interesting topic alone.
Like, man, how are you gonna say that aliens don't exist when we don't even know what all is in our water?
Yeah.
Like, what is it, like 5 or 10% of the ocean floor has been explored?
Yeah, that's
we
wild.
Know more about space than we know about our own planet, bro.
I was just hearing that. Yeah, that's wild.
Like,
but when you look at space, I mean, my God, it's just forever. It's just so big. And when you look around, you know, of course, you know, you got the Big Bang, you got all that stuff. But when you look around, look at the big blue planet. I mean, I get it. Life can form, you know, fucking tiny little. It's science, but it's just fucking crazy to see.
But dude,
Earth.
When you think about it, and you trace all that stuff back, and you're like, okay, we evolved from water, like bacteria and water. Well, how the fuck did that bacteria get there?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I don't think to be completely honest, man. Like on my own, like bullshit, like in my own head. We were brought here. There is no fucking way. Because how are you going to explain that time gap?
Yeah.
From upright walking apes to this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how is that a thing?
How you doing, man?
What's going on, brother?
I mean, you know, the whole thing makes sense with, you know, just, you know, I mean, if we're going back to evolution, if we're going back to Big Bang, you know, I mean, the creation and the evolution, they're two different wild things, but you know, with the Earth being completely pummeled with comets, asteroids, and it brings all that, you know, the water here from it melting and over time. And
oh, you didn't know the Earth's not round, bro. The Earth's flat.
Oh, is it flat?
it's not flat
because the cats would have knocked everything off the edge by now. All know that.
Those are my favorite people, though.
What the fuck is with the flat Earth people, man?
I really wish I could meet one of them in real life.
I just go to the fucking beach and look at the round of the ocean. I mean,
you could just see it.
You just fucking know.
How? Like,
what the hell is this shit?
And, like, the fact that everything is held together by gravity and, like, atmosphere. Like, science
is rad. It's amazing.
It's
amazing, you know, with the shit that happens to the moon, you know, affects the tides and just the different, all that shit. It's all together.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. Like, I don't know. The fact that, like, that there's people that are arrogant enough to think that we're the king shit. Like, we're the top tier. Like, this is where it goes.
Yeah, we're fucking, we're
destroying
it. Bro,
where the fuck
did
we come from? Come on. Like, all those cool stories in, like, the Bible and, like, the Quran and, like, I'm not racist by any means or, like, a bigot. Like, I don't hate anybody for their whatever they believe in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my belief system now is one of the more far out.
Right,
like,
right.
People are like, wait, you believe in Odin and Thor and Tyr and Frigg and all that? And I'm like, yeah, man. And you know, you just get laughed at. But it's like, you believe in a guy who walked on water, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
so, you know, that's what I find the difference between the all. So it's like, if it's so wild thinking to think of all the things that you were, you know, just mentioning, it's not too wild to think of some dude walks on water, you know. It's all what you come from. It's all your experiences and your beliefs. But there's so many. There's people that believe in nothing, people that believe in nature, you know, in Christ.
I believe in so much, man. I just
people either say they believe in a higher power, or they believe in God, or they believe in nothing. And then your thing is kind of new to me as well. I gotta be honest with you.
The Asatru community is it's cool. It's not very prominent around here. At least I haven't found.
Well, you're the first that I've really heard. I met a guy a year or two ago who still believes in fucking Zeus. You know, the Greek gods
dude,
and all of
awesome.
That.
That's awesome.
And I was like, wow. Like, so you totally think the possibility of Jesus Christ is crazy, but you believe in Zeus. But I mean, it's the two different people, two different things. But all of it is wild thinking, you know,
right.
And it's just whatever your path takes you on, and we all have to respect each other for it, you know. I don't care what you believe in. If you're a nice person and we can chill and talk,
right.
Bada bing.
Like, if you can educate me on your beliefs, I have the utmost respect for you.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're going to come at me on some bullshit because I believe in the God of Thunder... Not the one from the comics or anything, you know, like the actual God of Thunder who is the protector of Midgard, which is Earth.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't tell me why your God does certain things. Like, the constant thing I always have with Christians is, like, you're so dependent on your God, you know, you have to go do these things. You have to live by these standards. And it's like, well, my gods have that too. But my gods are never going to ask me to get on my knees in front of them.
Yeah.
They're going to stand beside me and my ancestors, you know? Like, they're there with me on my journey.
See, that, you know, looking at you, that totally makes sense to me because I think you said it before, you have the whole God complex. But you're a big, you know, I'm going to kick some ass kind of dude, and I don't bow to anybody. So this kind of makes sense. It kind of fits you.
Yeah, I kneel before no man.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of fits you.
But I have to adjust to modern society because I can't live like my ancestors, man, and just go rape and pillage and, you know, take what I want because society has laws in place and all that now, which is completely fine with me because I'm a nice guy and I'm not trying to go out and rape and pillage and take people's
bitches.
Shit. I'm going to work for it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how life is. It's the constant cycle of earning and getting and earning and getting.
In the age we live in and where we live, there's so much opportunity, and it's just trying to figure out how to grab that opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
Just like with this here, we started this shop up a few months ago, and that's been a dream of ours.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, if you're depressed and you're out of it and your momentum has stopped in your life, you got to come up with something. And even if you come up with an idea that you can work towards, which is what we did with this, at least you're going in the right direction, and it usually helps you feel better.
Yeah,
just to get through each day.
Yeah, and like the cool thing about where I'm working now is like back probably around October, November, I had gotten the bright idea in my head by watching this gentleman named Davey Muse. He was he's a part of a band, Vanna, who has since disbanded last year, and now he's in another band called Trove. Well, he also has like this non-profit clothing company. It's called Shovel. And, like, his main focus on, like, his charity is for every shirt or whatever that gets bought from his company, one of equal value goes to a teen shelter.
Hmm.
Because his whole thing was, like, he grew up not having fresh shoes, fresh clothes, you know, in school and all this stuff. So, for a teenager that's in, like, a shelter with their parents or whatever, they know that, you know, their clothes are shit, you know, and they're bummed out, you know, and it opens for bullying and this whole other bullshit topic.
Yeah, bullying shit, yeah.
So like, that mission statement of, like, donating, like, one for one, like, that is sold to help someone dig themselves out of where they are. You know, just be like a little beacon of hope for someone that's in a really shitty spot. And, you know, like, I come through that mentality all the time. Like, it's just a constant cycle for me, and I'm in the process of finally breaking the cycle, realizing this is where I'm fucking up.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Like, so I came up with a brand of my own based on, like, that kind of concept of being able to help people. And with my, it kind of ties into, like, the whole tattoo thing and, like, being judged off of my appearance and people being kind of hesitant to talk to me. It's called Open Mind Free Soul. So the constant message is always keeping an open mind, mm-hmm. and your soul can be free. You know, you can travel the world, you can do all these things, but just remember, there's other walks of life. Not everybody lives the same way you do.
That's for sure.
So it's always kind of like keeping with the positive message and, you know, always staying positive and just using it as like an outreach to people, like, hey man, you know, how's it going? Like, anytime I walk past somebody on the street, I'm like, hey man, how you doing? You know, and sometimes it strikes up a conversation. Yeah, sometimes people just look at me like I'm fucking nuts.
Of course.
Which is okay. Which is completely okay because, you know, they might not be in a good place.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said, hey, how you doing? With a smile on my face. Who knows? That could make that person's day.
Yeah, really.
Or they can just be like, who the fuck is this asshole fucking smiling at me? What a dick.
See your face like, fuck, go.
Cross the street quick.
All right. Well, cool. Well, that was a good half hour there, and I gotta say, we are real people, and we smoke real cigarettes.
Yeah, man.
And I have a customer in the shop, and we get him a cup of coffee, so we'll come back to this in a minute, and you can hear a word from our sponsor.
Goodbye. My phone's at 13%. I probably should have charged it this morning. Yep.
Yeah, it's recording right on.
Right on.
So we're back because we are people and we smoke cigarettes. I'm sorry for the folks that would offend, but feel much better.
Trigger warning.
So we're outside smoking and talking, and I forgot about how much of a freaking amazing storyteller this guy is. That was one of the most interesting things of meeting Jason here a few weeks ago is the shit he comes up with. It's wild. So, Jason, man, I'm going to put you on the spot, man.
All right. We'll tell the story about Jack and the Bear.
All right.
We'll tell the story about Jack and the Bear. So Jack is a man who likes to do not so nice things to not so nice people. We'll just put it that way. And he works for certain places that go certain places in the world to do different things. Yeah. You know, it's not necessarily just hunting down bad people. It's, you know, it could be helping a church or something. In this particular instance, he was out there helping do security for a not-so-nice area where they were trying to do some really nice things for the people there. So, of course, he jumped at the chance to do this. So, they're out, you know, they're doing their thing, they're building this building, and, you know, comes a time where it's, you know, the sun's starting to set, you know, they got some intel, maybe it might not be such a nice night for them. So they go out, you know, and they're patrolling in the woods and around the area, and, you know, nature calls, bro. You know, you have to relieve yourself. So what does Jack do? Jack, you know, puts down his rifle right up against the tree, you know, and proceeds to relieve himself. Well, Jack, being the not-so-smart man that he is, didn't think to pay attention to his surroundings. He hears some ruffling going on, and he just turns to his right and looks probably about, you know, maybe 20 yards away, 15 yards away. There's a giant fucking grizzly bear. And the first thing he thinks to himself is, oh, fuck, I'm going to die. Let me grab my rifle. Well, he goes to grab his rifle and knocks it over, being the clumsy man that he is, not paying attention and shit. So Jack's like, quick, think. Grabs his sidearm, which, you know, is just a little 1911, you know, standard issue. Aims it. You know, dead sight, right on the head, you know, going for a headshot because it's probably the safest bet because bears, you know, thick skin. Well, pulls the trigger, firing pin breaks.
Jesus.
Talk about shit luck, right? Jack is not the luckiest man on the planet. So Jack's standing there, fuck, what am I going to do? And, you know, the bear at this point has already acknowledged the fact that he's there and he's pissed because of the time of year. It just got woken up by some asshole trekking through the fucking woods. So he's pissed. So Jack's thinking to himself, you know, fuck, what do I do here? Well, it's pissed. It's probably going to kill me. So fuck it. I'm going to go out swinging. So he charges the bear. Just charges the bear. Bear hugs the shit out of him, you know. And then he realizes, fuck, I have a giant fucking knife on my leg. Let me just stab this fucking thing and get it over with. Well, he's stabbing. Well, it's just pissing it off even more. Because he can't hurt this thing. It's 4 times the fucker's size. Yeah. So what's he gonna do? He's like, all right, fuck it. You know what? I'm just gonna stab it one fucking time real good, get my knife deep far in there, and drag it across his belly. I'm gonna gut him. Well, you know, thinking to himself, how am I gonna lean out of this without getting myself killed? it's just hope for the best, I guess, you know, just jams it into his side, you know, falls back onto his back. Guts spill out of the bear. Bear falls on top of him. We're talking like a 400-pound bear.
Yeah, bears are fucking big.
So this is a gnarly experience for Jack, and Jack's pushing himself out of this bear, covered in bear guts, stinking all to high hell. And here we are. Pulls himself out of the bear, covered in bear guts, realizing never put his dick away. So Jack cleans himself off, you know, zips up. And there's his buddies finally coming up, wondering where the hell Jack went, realizing that Jack's under this dead bear.
That's crazy.
Pushing himself out of this dead bear. And they're laughing. They think it's hilarious. They're like, how'd you kill Jack? He's like, oh, prison shanked it and then gutted it. What?
Yeah. Sounds like one badass dude.
How are you just going to go ahead and do that, bro? Like, that's good for you. Good for you. You know... But, you know, that wasn't enough for Jack. Jack, you know, wanted it. Because that's something you...
Well, if you could wrestle a bear and fucking kill it, yeah, that's some shit right there, I gotta say.
I mean, it's always a good time. I wouldn't know personally.
Of course, well, you know, this Jack individual is quite an individual.
But Jack's a good guy. Jack's got lots of stories, man. Jack's a genuine badass, I think. At least that's what the general consensus is about Jack, is that he's a badass. He's a lot like myself and has a God complex.
Mr. God Comp.
But the awesome part of the story is, yeah, you know, he fought a bear and he lived to tell about it in the middle of Siberia in the shittiest time of year, in the shittiest conditions, and he came out from this.
Yeah.
So realizing that he couldn't take this bear because the meat is tainted and it's all septic because you know, they just came out of hibernation, so it's not going to be good for you. What does he do? He goes and takes a finger from the bear. And Jack and his stepdad haven't had the best relationship, but Jack's stepdad is a Blackfoot Native American, which is their symbol is the bear.
Hmm.
So Jack thought it would be a good way to mend bridges and offer this to him as like a, hey man, you know, I love you. I want you to have this. Because this is a part of Jack.
Yeah.
So Jack is giving part of this to his stepdad as like an offering, and now apparently Jack and his stepdad are best of friends.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Damn.
So that's really rad. Yeah, that's the story of Jack in Siberia.
Siberia? What the hell? I wonder what Siberia is like.
Dude, it's cold.
Yeah.
It's pretty cold from what I understand. Jack and I are really good friends, so yeah. I talk to Jack all the time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's cold, it's wet, and his vivid descriptions of all of that out there is just insane. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a good time.
Damn. Is it a good time? Is it really?
It's a good time. I mean, it sounds like a good time. Like, I would love to be able to do shit like that. You
that
know?
Shit's
but,
crazy. I mean, you might not come back from that shit, man.
That's the cool part about it, man. You never know.
Yeah.
That's the half the adventure, you know?
You know, it's something as you get older and then you have children and you make a family and then your ideas change on that because now I might not come back, so I probably shouldn't do this anymore.
Yeah.
That would kind of fuck somebody up.
I mean...
But, you know, it's amazing. I mean, just military in general, there's so many people that have families who have kids and they're gone forever.
They make it all work.
But that's definitely needed.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like a necessary evil. Like, I've never... been in the military or, you know, had that experience to do what they do. And because I took a different route, you know, my brother of mine actually, you know, did that. And, he served the country and that's how he ended his life was, you know, in Afghanistan, you know, he got himself blown up.
Damn.
So like, I try to do my best as live as like a decent human being and do the things that I do and talk to the people I talk to on a regular basis because of him, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't the things that he taught me. And same with my father, like, before he passed away when I was young, you know. So my brother had more time with our father than I did. So he got more of the morals and things. And, you know, I guess after my dad passed away, he felt it was his obligation to pass it on to
me. How old were you?
I was 4 years old when my dad passed away.
And yeah, then, so I can see definitely brother having a big influence.
And then I was 19 when my brother passed away. So I was already kind of like already, I already had like established a career as a tattoo artist, you know, and you know, I was getting ready to settle down, you know, with the girl who I thought was the love of my life, and you know, things changed, and you know, her and I grew apart, and then I met my ex-wife, who I thought was the best thing, you know, since sliced bread, and then realizing now it's been probably about 4 years that we've been separated, how unhappy I really was, and how content I thought I was, and just with the day-to-day, you know, and things were great, you know, for like the first few years, you know, we were together for about 5-6 years, so, you know, we had 2 kids out of that marriage, and, you know, my daughter was my best friend growing up, you know, I haven't seen that her or my son in about a little over 2 years now, and that's like the whole personal thing that I was talking about earlier in the podcast, you know, with a couple weeks ago, you know, the whole jail time, possible jail time and all that, you know, was because of negligence on paying my child support, which kind of makes me feel like a shitty human being, because my ex-wife is a decent mom. Like, she doesn't use that money for, like, Bentleys and, you know, all that stupid
crap. Well, that's
crap.
Good. Like, that's good, because a lot of instances where that doesn't happen that way, you know, there's so many people that just, you know, use that money not where it should be. You know, it's for the babies.
And you know, I just fell on some hard times. You know, I lost job and couldn't get back into the workforce sometimes. As soon as I wanted to, so we're dealing with that.
Plug some shit in, and I got some baggies about to die.
Oh, no.
But you can only expect that for podcast 001.
Yeah. You know, the first podcast is bound to have a little bumps here and there, but it's
all
right.
But this is cool. I'm digging this. Because this is what we do all the time anyways. I mean,
right.
And it's the whole idea, you know, when you start up a new business, it's like, okay, there's so many avenues to try to promote your business, and everybody's on devices. Everybody's
right.
With the technology.
Always. Dude, and I hate that about myself. I'm always on my phone. And I remember the days of, like, being a, just, when I started tattooing, I was rarely ever on my phone. I was barely ever on social media, you know. I think I would pick my phone up maybe 6 or 7 times, and that was to either text somebody or call them back. Yeah.
I didn't even have a phone. And, you know, it's funny now. I'm 35 years old. I have a 13-year-old and a 7-year-old. And when I was their ages, man, I was in the woods. I was outside doing shit.
Right.
But now they just want to play Xbox and play on their tablets. And I think for a lot of people, sometimes that could be like, all right, they're cool, they're quiet, we can do our thing. But, like, you can't distract them with technology, man. You got to get them outside and doing shit. And that's what we're trying to do more and more and more with our children.
And that was the cool thing about my daughter. Like, I worked a third shift job at a convenience store, you know, and my ex-wife was working like a first, second shift, primarily second shift job, where she was working in the medical field as like a receptionist. Like, she would call people to like verify their insurance and all that for like an upcoming appointment. And that was the step she had to take to further her education and further her job experience. So I was all about supporting her and her doing that. So I took a back seat, you know, with my daughter, and I made sure, like, if it wasn't raining or snowing, that from like 5:30 to 6, we were outside doing something. Yeah. Whether it was just kicking a rubber ball back and forth or walking around the neighborhood talking to people, you know. She gained so much knowledge just from people that I introduced her to at such an early age. She saw Daddy with all these people.
Yeah.
So he could gain something and then give back in return.
Hmm.
So she has the knowledge of that in her head, like, hey, you know, if I'm getting something from someone, I should give something in return.
That's good.
Whether it be like a sharing of knowledge between each other, or, you know, some kid doesn't have a cookie and she's got two, of course she's going to give him a cookie because she wants someone to enjoy that experience of eating that cookie with.
Yeah.
You know, and the weird thing is, like, I never had to raise my voice to her.
Yeah.
You know, I rarely ever had to discipline her. When I had her, it was she would throw a fit because, you know, 2-year-olds throw
fits. Of course,
yeah. So it's And I would just look at her and I'd be like, what are you doing, man? And she'd be like, throwing a fit. I'm like, why are you throwing a fit? Because I can't get my way. Well, why can't you get your way? Because it's not time for that. Exactly. So you're such a big girl, right? Yeah, daddy, I'm a big girl. Well, what do big girls not do? Big girls don't throw fits.
Which we all know, all big girls throw fits.
Yeah. But that was just the little thing I taught my daughter, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
It in her head that, you know, life isn't fair.
Yeah, yeah.
It sucks sometimes, but you have to be grown up
about it. It's like with my little boy, you know, we'll be sitting in one room, and he'll be like, daddy, can you go over there and get me my pencil and my paper? It's like, no, man, get up and get your paper and your pen. You seriously want me to go, like, into the next room and get what you want? Like, no, man, you got to get in the simplest little things from the very beginning. It's hilarious. Like, you have to learn to do these things, man. It's a pencil. It's paper. Get your ass up. Get the paper.
I could and literally...
I try not to raise my voice. I try to save that mega, like, I'm going to come down on your ass.
Dangerous situation.
For the big things. Because, you know, for me growing up being yelled at all the time, it's like after a while, it doesn't fucking have any effect. I'm always getting yelled at, whatever. It's going to happen, so...
It's one of those tough love things. That's what I reserved the booming voice for.
But, you know, you save those for the big things so they know they fucked up and it ain't good. Having children, man, is something.
Yeah, that was probably the best experience I've ever had.
That's cool.
Yeah, that my daughter, actually, I think, saved my life because I was at a very rough time in my life when my ex-wife and I found out that we were having my daughter. You know, I had vowed to myself that I was going to stop tattooing.
See, that's cool you say that because to me, too. To me, too. It's different for everybody. Some people have to go to jail. Some people have to go into the military. Yeah. Some people, like myself, have children and think, oh, fuck, I got to change my direction. And then there's some people that just never get it.
Yeah.
But having children definitely set my course, and I knew I had to make some changes.
Yeah, man. It got to the point, like, my daughter and I were such good friends. Like, she would be, like, throwing a fit across the room, and I'd be sitting on the couch, and I would just look over at her, and I'd be like, yo. She'd be like, sorry, daddy. And then she would literally walk over to the microwave, set the timer for 2 minutes, and go hit start and go stand in the corner. Like, I never... I think maybe twice I had to tell her, go stand in timeout.
Yeah.
And that's because she was throwing a fit and just wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
Which is bound to happen, you
of
know?
Of course. Yeah, the
it's
little
a child.
Kids,
like,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, all right, man.
Because
I get it.
But could you imagine there's people out there that would just go up to that fucking kid and smack him right in the side of the head, you know? It's like... It doesn't have to be handled that way. They don't have to learn from pain.
Yeah, my mom smacked my ass a couple times.
I got my ass beat when I was a kid.
Yeah,
I tell you.
You know, my dad brought out the belt a few times, the paddle with the drilled holes in it, you know. But those were, like, super dire situations when, like, I was getting into shit that I shouldn't have been getting in.
And
like,
and
I deserved it, you know what I mean? Blatantly doing after they told me not to.
And, you know, for myself, I ain't saying a little pat on the ass, go sit down, is wrong. I'm saying, don't fucking... smack your kid in the fucking head and in the face and knock him down.
Don't smack him in the back of the head and be like, dumbass. Although there's sometimes that, you know, I feel that way about some adults sometimes where I could just smack you upside the back of the head and be like, bro, what the fuck are you doing?
And, you know, it kind of changes as you get older. I have a 7-year-old. I have a 13-year-old. The 13-year-old, you know, he's getting bigger. He's understanding more and he's getting more exposure to the world. So, you know, when they're 5, 6, 7, they don't know how fucked up the world is.
Right.
They're just living their happy little lives. When you get into a teenager, you got to start preparing. And so, you know, you can come down a little harder and, you know, make sure that they're understanding.
Yeah.
This ain't going to work, man.
It's like, listen, that was cool like 3 years ago, but, you know, now that you're growing up, you gotta start realizing things aren't all sunshine and rainbows, brother. The world will eat you whole and spit you back out and... It won't care.
Yeah.
It won't care, you know. There's a lot of people that probably will care about you.
Yeah.
But for their own selfish reasons.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, this whole, like, Black Lives Matter thing and, like, you know, the equality rights and stuff for men and women and all that stuff. That's all fine and dandy, but if you wouldn't have your own personal agenda behind it.
Yeah,
like, the guy
who
started Black Lives Matter, he legitimately had, like, a good idea for it. You know, and then these right-wing people who are, like, super violent and everything, which is bound to happen, got a hold of it, and, you know, completely flipped the script on what it is, and it's almost racist at this point.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer because, like, people that are in the Black Lives Matter say blue lives don't matter, like, cops don't matter. Like, all right, take away all the cops, bro.
Yeah, really.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go on a shooting spree. Get rid of all the cops. See where that'll get you, bro. Like, there has to be organization for anything to work.
Yeah.
So, to try to be lawless, in this day and age is just asking for a prison sentence.
Yeah, yeah, it's ridiculous.
So it's a bummer. It really is, and I really wish better for the world.
And I think, you know, in any group, if you're a cop, if you're black, if you're white, there's always a few that seem to fuck it up for the whole group. You yeah. can't judge everybody by a few individuals that made some stupid-ass decisions.
Well, dude, and that's the thing. That's what most people see. Like, bringing it back to the beginning yeah, with the whole tattoo yeah. thing. You know, people have seen prison documentaries with MS-13 gang members with the giant face tattoos and everything, and then they automatically lump everybody yep. that they ever see with face tattoos into that category. So that's why I get, like, the hostility towards me and other things. And the amount of people that is staggering.
Yeah.
But I still have hope for the world because there is still plenty of people
that's for sure.
that are willing to be like, hey, man, how's it going?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit, dude, what's up?
He's talking to me. Yeah, that's for sure. There's so many people with so many views and so many ideas, and our brains all work differently. It's quite amazing. Since we've been here at the Green Tambourine Shop 3 months, I've seriously met so many different people. It's with just different outlooks, and you are one of the most unique out of all them.
I guess, man.
I always enjoy it. I see you coming down the sidewalk like, all right. At first, it was like, all right, Josh is here. Like, oh, fuck, his name ain't Josh. I call you Josh for, like, weeks. Right? Jason?
Everybody was calling me Josh for weeks.
Fucking but Jason.
It's all right, man.
And then you're the tattoo guy for a while. Yeah.
Now I'm just that guy that comes in, gets his coffee, shoots the shit for a little while, and
oh yeah, it's
you
know, cool.
I love it because it's like it reminds me of like an old school shop where you just go and actually have a relationship with someone that has interests in the same things that you do. And it just brings everything together, and it's more of like a community outreach kind of thing. And with this podcast, man, it's like the best thing. And I'm really stoked that you like
offered me to come out. The very first one. You know, obviously, we're going to do these podcasts every Saturday at 5 o'clock, and I want to get it to the point where people actually know this. I want to come into our shop and sit down as you are right now and talk about fucking anything. And obviously to start it, it's like, okay, I need some people to do this shit to start so people know, and you were the first guy I thought of.
Yeah, man, because, and I am super honored to be episode 001,
man. Oh, yeah, that is cool.
So, shout out to the Green Tambourine Shop, man.
Yeah, when you look at this shop, you know, this is basically what our teenage bedrooms look like, you know?
It really was.
It's cool. I mean,
I had a little more metal posters hanging
up. Well, I'll put it this way. This is my wife's bedroom. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
But, you know, we dig the 60s and 70s, the music, the color, just everything, and the music mainly. I love music. Same. I mean, as people, we go through so many different moods and emotions. There's a different genre to accommodate all of them. That's why I always try to stay open to music. If it's a good song, doesn't matter what genre it is, it should shine through.
Right.
And you just got to stay open because, you know, lately electronic music has been very cool just because of the no words thing. Like, you can listen to music and make your own idea what the song's about.
Yeah.
A guy writes a song about a dog and a girl. Well, you can relate to that, but that's the direction it's going. This other form of music, it's just music, and you create your own thoughts while you're listening to it, and it's a unique experience for everyone. That's why I liked when I was doing music, I did a lot of instrumentals. Firstly, because I don't like my voice. I think I sound like Everybody Loves Raymond, the guy, you know. I'm too nasally for
Robert.
Singing. But, you know, I dig instrumental music because I can create my own uniqueness with it. Yeah. Everybody can relate differently. And that's what we do here at the Green Tambourine Shop. We like to listen to fucking from the 60s to swing, you know. Electronic swing.
That's like my favorite thing about coming here, man. I never know what kind of music I'm going to listen to. And we were talking about that before. Like, I came in and we heard a song from the Moody Blues.
Yeah.
That I heard a different version of that was in a movie from a made-up band. And I was like, wait, that's an actual song? Like, I thought that was just made for the movie. And I was like, dude, that's so cool. That's like history.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it is wild when you hear something and you're like, well, I never heard that
version. You know what?
Before.
It's actually the song that's playing in the background right now.
Well, that's fucked up. You are right. That is weird. Weird.
That's awesome, bro.
That is really weird. It's like that dog, you know?
Rufus.
Thing. We're outside, like, hanging out. He, you know, Jason comes by, and we go outside, and, you know, we burn one, and it was, like, 3 fucking days in a row, the same car, at the same time, at the same spot, with the same dog. We're like, is this fucking happening again?
Right?
What is going on?
Yeah. And that's, and that, like, little instances like that means, like, that'll forever be in my head, and I'm like, you know what, I gotta keep going back there. Because for it, that situation to happen that many times in the same week,
yeah,
was like, all right, you know what, this is kind of cool. Like, this is, like, I got, like, a routine down, I'm feeling, like, feeling them out more adult. You know, I haven't seen Rufus in a while, so...
Yeah, yeah. The cycle has been broken, but that's okay. We had our moment.
Right.
Yeah, I've got a lot of folks that have come in. Hopefully, some folks will hear this and want to come in and get on it, because...
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Oh, yeah. I call him Drunk-Ass Curtis.
Drunk-Ass Curtis.
I don't know if he would take offense to that. I'm recording it now, but...
Yeah.
Say, hey, man, you cool if I call you Drunk-Ass Curtis? Because he loved it, too, because, you know, he's a great guy, but he fell asleep in my chair, and then he... Next minute, you know, he's fucking sleeping on my floor. There's a family area. Now, he's an awesome guy, and I want to talk to him sometime.
Yeah, that'd be cool to get him on here.
But I guess, you know, we're almost fulfilled our little hour here, so. Our
hourly obligation.
Yeah. It was a first go at this. So we have 5 minutes left if we want to add anything else in there. Anything at all? Anything interesting?
Oh, man. I don't know. Just, come drink some coffee, hang out.
Yeah.
You know, get to know us. Like, come say what's up. Jump on the podcast, you know.
Yeah, here at the Green Tambourine Shop, we just got a little stage in here. I got a little stool, a little guitar. I want to have people come in and play. And if people are into playing, hell, we'll record you playing. Then we'll talk to you in between playing, you know.
Right, yeah.
I thought that would be cool as shit, you know. Have some people in that like to play. But, you know, as a musician myself for many years, it's a difficult thing, especially these days. There's so many people doing the same shit, and although we have the internet, there's so many people doing and after the same thing.
Yeah.
And when it comes to music, you got to do it for the joy of doing it. That's for sure. Yeah. But exposure in any way possible, well, you can get that here. So
yeah,
oh, there's the pick. I found the pick. I have the pick.
Awesome. Pick of destiny.
All right, Jason. Well, thank you so much for spending time here, and you can get yourself a free cup of coffee. That's what we do. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm cool with that, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.